It is Monday, March the 23rd, and this is Kathy bringing you the News Gazette, primarily from the weekend since there's no Monday News Gazette. So I'm going to take a look at Saturday first. As you know, the major news is all about coronavirus. So the Saturday paper had a big headline that says, stay at home. From 5 p.m. Saturday through April 7th, things are going to be a little different. On the day that the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose to 585, the Illinois death count grew to 5, which was a Cook County woman in her 70s. A stay-at-home order issued by Friday afternoon by Governor J.B. Pritzker left millions wondering how it affects them. In the end, rumors of a statewide lockdown were replaced by a more conservative order that will allow many businesses and organizations to operate as they have been all week. And we'll look at that list. The statewide mandate calls for all schools, both public and private, to remain closed another week until April 7th. However, districts that had planned to provide meals to students next week, including Champaign and Urbana, will still be allowed to do so as long as it happens on a pickup and takeaway basis only. Law enforcement officers will be watching the streets but won't be in arrest mode when the order takes effect at 5 p.m. Saturday. Champaign County Sheriff Dustin Heuermann said for his office, criminal charges will only be a last resort. In transportation news, the MTD buses are still rolling and Willard Airport will remain open. And while Pritzker's order limits leaving the home to essential travel only, there are many exceptions, from dog sitting to going out for groceries to exercising, just not in a group or at a gym. All Champaign County Forest Preserves will remain open for hiking, fishing, and other activities after the governor greenlit engaging in outdoor activities of all kinds without limitation. But playgrounds will be cordoned off locally and statewide due to the potential spread of COVID-19 on touch points. Nothing in the order prohibits members of a single household or residence from getting together, but all public and private gatherings of any number of people occurring outside a single household or living unit are prohibited, with few exceptions, state officials said. No reason to panic. This isn't martial law, by Deborah Pressey. Don't think of sheltering in place as a quarantine, local officials advise. Think of it as a two-week vacation and Illinois' one chance to flatten the coronavirus curve. The goal is keeping people away from each other, said Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride. We have a tiny window of opportunity to get in front of this, she said. What this will mean is essential services and businesses will be open and the people will still be able to get necessities, said Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin. So such things as food, medicine, health care, and gasoline will all be available. Manicures and hair appointments, no. It separates the necessities from the niceties. Much of life will continue, she said. It's just that the places that we gather with groups of people will not. That means even families. If you're not living with each other, then you should not gather with each other. Police will be out reminding people they see congregating in groups in public places, but they're not going to be arresting people for not staying home, Marlin said. This isn't martial law, she said. It's important that everyone cooperate, Marlin urged. Every single one of us is a first responder, because how we respond today or for the next few weeks is going to determine the course of this for the country, she said. Champaign County Sheriff Dustin Heuermann, who also serves as the director of the county's emergency management agency, said sheltering in place today and beyond probably won't look a lot different than what most people have been doing all week. If you work an essential job, carry your work ID, he advised. If you have to be out, make sure you carry an ID that says you work at Walgreens or Carl, he said. I don't believe the police will be out stopping people asking where they are going. That will not be our role. With more businesses expected to close, Heuermann said law enforcement will try to keep a watchful eye out to prevent burglaries, as well as continue to respond to calls for service that involves threats to life. People should use common sense and say, let me use this as a 14-day vacation. Get stuff done around the house and don't leave unless I absolutely have to, he advised. We never know if it's an overreaction until it's done and we're looking back. Vermilion County Health Department Administrator Doug Toole said his take is that nothing much will change from what people are already doing. I think people who are responsible have been trying to use the social distancing, working from home, staying home more instead of going out, he said. I think most folks are doing that anyway. Keep in mind this is about keeping the disease from spreading in the community and protecting loved ones, he said. If you can't see mom as often as you like, you can email, text, and call her. Champaign Mayor Deb Frank Finan said it's normal to feel anxious and uncomfortable as everyone gets used to what the next few weeks will bring. But it's important to remember that this is proactive to help us contain the virus and keep the community as healthy as we can. The order does not prevent people from taking a walk, from going to the grocery store, from handling necessary day-to-day items, Finan said. So if you need to buy gas, if you need to walk your dog, or buy groceries, those things will continue to be allowed. While stores providing essential products such as groceries will remain open, Finan asked the public to be sensitive to the employees to help them stay safe. Instead of bringing family members to the grocery, she suggested, just bring those essential to the shopping trip. Her advice, enjoy your time at home with family, enjoy reading, and know you're contributing to a healthier community, she said. Under local businesses, Shoppers Heeding Pritzker's Advice So Far by Ben Zigterman. Grocery stores were busy Friday afternoon in Champaign-Urbana, but customers didn't appear to be panicking before Governor J.B. Pritzker's stay-at-home order went into effect. Instead, customers appeared to heed his call not to hoard food, as grocery stores and other essential services will remain open. There is absolutely no need to rush out to a grocery store or a gas station, he said. While more grocers were wearing face masks than they were a week or two ago, business at local grocery stores seemed a bit more crowded than they typically would be on a Friday afternoon. Nearly all the carts in use were in use at Harvest Market, where the checkout lines stretched several customers deep. At Schnucks and Savoy, the freezers with ice cream and frozen pizza seemed a bit low, but not sold out, and there was plenty of canned food and other staples. As the governor made his announcement at 3 p.m., the parking lot at the Walmart in Savoy wasn't too full. And at Benny's on North Prospect Avenue in Champaign, business was brisk Friday afternoon. Just like grocery stores, liquor stores are considered essential services and will remain open. It was a different story at Marketplace Mall, where the workers at the few stores that remained open probably outnumbered the shoppers. Some food court vendors were open, but the tables were pushed to the middle and cordoned off, as no dining in is allowed. And each of the anchor stores, Macy's, JCPenney, Dick's, and Field & Stream, had already announced they would be closing temporarily. Many of the kiosks were closed, as were many of the smaller stores throughout the mall. "We will miss you and can't wait to see you soon," American Eagle sign said. "Keep smiling." For the stay-at-home, Savoy Family's Plan, Hold Down the Fort by Mary Schenck. All things being equal, Karen Miller and her daughter Allie, a high school senior, would rather have been in New York City on Friday waiting in line for a Broadway show. That was the spring break that the Savoy mother and daughter, an aspiring performer, had planned. Instead, they were gaming in a fort on steroids that Allie, 17, and her brother Nolan, 15, erected in the family's basement when Governor J.B. Pritzker announced that that's where they should stay for another 18 days. "I'm not surprised. I think we were all kind of prepared for that, frankly," Karen Miller said of the latest order. With the announcement of 5 deaths and 585 positive COVID-19 cases on Friday, Pritzker issued a shelter-in-place order until April 7th. "The only strategy available to us is to mitigate the spread of coronavirus in the most robust manner possible," he said. "I don't come to this decision easily. I realize I'm choosing between saving people's lives and saving people's livelihoods." For the Millers of Savoy, that was just reason to double down and come up with other ways to channel a whole lot of family energy. Like millions of Americans, Karen and Mike Miller, the parents of 4 children and a daughter-in-law, had several sets of family plans altered in the last week. Nolan, a freshman on Champaign Central High School's sectional championship boys swim team, was supposed to compete last weekend in a YMCA swim meet in Indiana. That was canceled. Then came word that the New York's Broadway theaters were shutting down their doors, precluding Karen and Allie from heading to the Big Apple to soak up culture. Allie is a senior at Central, trying to narrow her college choices for a major in theater and theater management. That process is a separate challenge for her, as in-person visits are being replaced by email communications. The ever-flexible Karen then swung into action with her sister-in-law and on Sunday booked a last-minute Airbnb in Gulf Shores, Alabama for several members of 2 Miller clans who planned to drive south. But when her sister-in-law heard beaches were closing and her sister, a healthcare worker, cautioned further about travel, Karen and the rest of the Millers scrapped those plans too. "It just started to feel icky, like I'm not being responsible," Karen said, adding that her husband had decided to stay in town to help run his business as his employees were scrambling for daycare options after schools closed. Son Evan from Indianapolis was supposed to be on a mission trip in New York City this week. When that was canceled, he and his wife Celeste, whose college academic path has been temporarily altered, decided they wanted to hang out with the family in Savoy. Tuesday's beautiful weather helped lift the family's disappointed spirits. We have this one picture on our wall that is 6 years old, she said. I always thought it would be fun to recreate. The picture was of our two sons and two daughters holding hands at Crystal Lake Park on a beautiful fall day. Since daughter-in-law Celeste joined the family almost a year ago, Karen wanted to do a second version, including her. We were going to go to Crystal Lake. Then we decided we have trees in our backyard. Then we decided to go to the hill at Colbert Park in Savoy. It's such a cool picture. That was fun, she said, of her four now older children, still holding hands with Celeste included. Among other pleasant distractions for some of the family was watching the 1985 movie Clue. That sparked us playing the board game, Clue, said Karen, who said Nolan is just learning the strategy, adding to the family's delight. The poor kid has so much energy and can hardly stand it because he can't be in the pool, she said. He's been flipping off the couches onto the beanbags. He's been doing bike rides. He and Evan have been on the trampoline. When the weather got a little dicey for being outdoors, Allie and Nolan decided to make a fort. They went and built this huge fort tent. They put lighting in it. They took the fort idea 100 times, and half of our basement has sheets, she said with a laugh. We have a TV down there, and that's where Nolan games is watching Star Wars, and we're hanging out down there eating chocolate. With another college-age daughter, Annika, about to move back home from Bloomington, where she attends Illinois State, for the next several weeks, Karen said they'll likely continue watching more TV than normal, reading and getting outside for walks and bike rides as much as possible. I'm having to run the dishwasher more, she said. I'm not used to them all being here. And top of the morning, from the day book. John Roma said he used to eat simply for sustenance, but after he moved to Champaign 40 years ago, he began trying various restaurants, and soon, he now says, he became a foodie. It isn't unusual for him to eat multiple meals at locally owned restaurants every day, so when restaurants are forced to close for dine-in service on Tuesday, he made a pact to help those he loves. I thought, I'm going to go out and do my part and eat 2 meals a day, he said. That's not irregular for me, but I said I'm going to commit to that. In addition to being a foodie, Roma has been an avid photographer throughout his adult life, so he decided to document his quest as well. He started with Little Porgy's, Esquire, Hopscotch Bakery, and Terra Thai, and he'll work his way through dozens of restaurants circulating as he usually does. I appreciate that the restaurant business is tough, even in good times. What's happening right now devastates people, he said. I thought, let me not only go out and take pictures, because everybody's treating this in a little different way, but I've gone into several restaurants since this thing began Tuesday, and everybody told me how grateful they were for my business. They were just so effusive with their thanks. I think everyone in town should consider the restaurant and bar staff. They earn less than minimum wage, and they depend on tips. A lot of them live paycheck to paycheck and work 2 jobs to make ends meet. In addition to getting his local food fixed, Roma is particularly interested to see how restaurants navigate the closures differently as he captures a unique time in history. I realize that this was sort of an extraordinary situation here, he said. It's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. At least I hope it is. And this is a listing of who can stay open and who's closed, and it says that Pritzker's stay-at-home order is far lengthier than the ones that had to shut down at 5 p.m. on Saturday. So the things that can stay open are healthcare and public health operations, which means hospitals, clinics, dental offices, pharmacies, licensed medical cannabis dispensaries and cultivation centers, reproductive health care providers, eye care centers, home health care service providers, mental health and substance use providers, and entities that transport and dispose of medical materials and remains. Stores that sell groceries and medicines, including grocery stores, pharmacies, certified farmers markets, farm and produce stands, supermarkets, and convenience stores. Organizations that provide charitable and social services, including food banks, businesses, and religious and secular nonprofits. Restaurants and other facilities that serve food, but only for consumption off-premises, with house in-house delivery, third-party delivery, drive-through, curbside pickup, or carry-out. Media, including newspapers, radio, and TV stations. Gas stations and businesses needed for transportation include auto supply, auto repair, and bicycle shops. Financial institutions, including banks, currency exchanges, and consumer lenders. Hardware, and businesses that sell electrical, plumbing, and heating material. Transportation for the purposes of essential travel, including airlines, taxis, network providers such as Uber and Lyft, and vehicle rental services. Critical trades, including plumbers, electricians, exterminators, cleaning and janitorial service for commercial and governmental properties. security staff, operating engineers, HVAC, painting, moving, and relocation services. Mail, post, and shipping, logistics, delivery, and pickup services. Remember, these are all things that are going to be open. Food and beverage manufacturing, production, processing, and cultivation, including farming, livestock, fishing, baking, and other production. Agriculture, including cultivation, marketing, production, and distribution of animals and goods for consumption. Educational institutions for the purposes of facilitating distance learning, performing critical research, or performing essential functions. Businesses that provide food, shelter, and other necessities of life for animals, including animal shelters, rescues, kennels, and adoption facilities. Laundromats, dry cleaners, industrial laundry services, and laundry service providers. Businesses that sell, manufacture, or supply products that are essential for people to work from home or for essential business and operations. Home-based care and services for adults, seniors, children, and or people with developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities, substance use disorders, and or mental illness. Residential facilities and shelters for that group. Professional services, including legal, accounting, insurance, and real estate. Manufacturing companies, distributors, and supply chain companies producing and supplying essential products and services in and for industries such as pharmaceutical, technology, biotechnology, healthcare, chemical sanitization, waste pickup disposal, agriculture, food, beverage, transportation, energy, steel, petroleum, fuel, mining, construction, national defense, and communications. Labor union essential activities, including the administration of health and welfare funds. Hotels and motels to the extent that they're used for lodging and delivery or carry out food services. Funeral, mortuary, cremation, burial, cemetery, and related services. Things that cannot stay open are schools. The statewide shutdown was extended to April 7th on Friday. However, schools and other entities that provide food services to students or members of the public may continue to do so on the condition that the food is provided to students or members of the public on a pickup and takeaway basis only. All places of public amusement, whether indoors or out, including locations with amusement rides, carnivals, amusement parks, water parks, aquariums, zoos, museums, arcades, fairs, children's play centers, playgrounds, funplexes, theme parks, bowling alleys, movie and other theaters, concert and music halls, and country clubs or social clubs. Fitness and exercise gyms cannot stay open. Spas, salons, barbershops, tattoo parlors, and similar facilities. Well, that doesn't give us a whole lot to do, does it? And now some different topics. Former clerk weighs in on the counting claims. Holton. Process Ammon said he inherited did not include results. The details in a claim made by Democratic Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons on Facebook that the ballot handling process used in Tuesday's primary was in place before I became clerk are incorrect, according to his Republican predecessor, Gordy Holton. Ammons, who couldn't be reached Friday, said in the Facebook post that he was responding to concerns about the timing of ballot tabulation. Those concerns were raised by Republican recorder Mark Sheldon, also a former clerk, who posted a screen capture of a report on early voting results that had a timestamp of 10:19 p.m. Monday. That would be a violation of a state law that requires waiting until after the polls close on election day to tabulate and print results. On the evening of Monday, March 16th, the tabulators used to record and secure ballots at 10 early voting sites around the county were closed, Ammon said in his post. A Democratic and Republican judge executed this process, jointly handling the ballots, and both signed off on the corresponding written results. Holton said his initial theory when he saw the timestamp on that Monday night report, which was posted publicly on the clerk's website shortly after the polls closed Tuesday, was that Ammons had simply used a computer with the clock set incorrectly. That's where the timestamp came from. But Ammons' Facebook post indicates his office printed results ahead of polls closing Tuesday, and those could have been seen, if not by Ammons, by someone, Holton said. What he's saying is, we generated results and the judges handled them, which is a no-no, and not the procedure he inherited, Holton said. In addition to the fact it's the law, Walton said, observing the statute on timing of generating results matters, because voters who haven't yet voted could be discouraged by the early release of results, he said. It's important because candidates who know results prior to the close of the polls can potentially use that information to their advantage. The process for handling early voting ballots described in Ammon's Facebook post also included that the results are kept on a military-grade encrypted thumb drive and on a printed report from the tabulator. Those and the ballots themselves are securely transported back to the Election Services Building, again with Democratic and Republican judges together, Ammon said. These materials are received by Democrat and Republican staff people together when secured in a locked box. Ammons contended that that's the process that was in place prior to his election as clerk, and it remains the most secure option for recording early voting ballots while opening the same polling places on Election Day. Mr. Ammons' Facebook post indicates that his election judges printed and returned tabulator tapes with results to him on Monday evening before the close of voting on Tuesday night, Holton said. The screen capture of the results shown to me indicate that his office read the USB memory sticks and generated aggregated results reports also on Monday evening before the close of voting on Tuesday night. In his instructions to election judges about closing early voting for the November 2018 election, Holton said there isn't a mention of judges printing, signing, or returning a results tape when closing, because under our procedures, no results tape was generated. Men's shelter finds temporary home at Douglas Park Center. New location allows those who stay there to keep 6 feet between them. CU at Home is directing those who utilize its nighttime services to the Douglas Community Center for the foreseeable future. Executive Director Rob Dahlhaus III told News Gazette on Friday that his organization would be moving its men's shelter from its regular location at 70 East Washington Street to the gymnasium in the community center at Douglas Park at 512 East Grove beginning Friday night. When this came out, about 6 feet of spacing, we did not have the square footage at our location to accommodate that, said Dahlhaus, referring to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guideline that individuals keep that distance between them at all times to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. We immediately began looking for other temporary locations. The Douglas Center came up. That's through the Champaign Park District. They've obviously been incredibly easy to work with, allowing us to use that space rent-free in this time of turmoil. Dahlhaus made it clear that the Washington Street location is not closing. We will continue to have our extended hours at Phoenix Daytime Drop-In Center, Dahlhaus said, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday until further notice. The Douglas Community Center worked as CU at Home's alternative location, Dahlhaus said, because of its proximity to the Washington Street facility and because the gym setting is easy to clean and easy to monitor. Dahlhaus said there's no timetable for how long this arrangement will last, although Governor J.B. Pritzker's Friday announcement of a statewide shelter-in-place order through April 7th offers some semblance of a timeline. It's all about keeping the calm as best you can, being calm under the pressure, Dahlhaus said. Our folks, they deal with daily crisis. Anything we can do to promote calm, to promote being as grounded and centered as possible, try to do that on a daily basis through general positivity. Certain businesses switch to card only. With entertainment options having ground to a halt worldwide, folks may not be reaching for their cash as frequently in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. But if you are paying for groceries or the delivery person with cash, should you be worried? No more than usual, said Awas Vyad, deputy administrator and epidemiologist at the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. There's no additional risk than at any other time because there are so many infectious diseases that are spread by dirty hands, he said. While that may not sound comforting, the point is that people should always wash their hands before touching their face or mouth, he said. We have received a lot of calls about this, handling money, going grocery shopping, touching fruits and vegetables. There are so many other diseases that are spread by bare hand contact. As long as you wash your fruits and vegetables well and wash your hands with soap and water, you should be fine, he said. That's what people forget, Vyad said of the double-layered process. Some local businesses have posted signs saying they won't accept cash and will deal only in credit. That's safer for their employees and safer for you if you're not pushing a lot of accept buttons or signing your name with a stylus. If you do those, just remember to wash or sanitize your hands after. At Old Orchard Bowling Lanes in Savoy, Rhonda Lutz, wife of the owner, said, "All of our staff and I feel like our skin is going to fall off from washing our hands so much. It's not that we didn't do that before, but now we're just super cautious every time." The popular bowling alley snack bar, usually packed with eat-in diners, is doing carry-out business at its drive-up window, which has long been open. On Thursday, they added delivery to Savoy south of Curtis Road, Tolono, and Philo for a few extra bucks. And for all diners, they are requesting credit only. I don't want them to have to worry about it and get somewhere where somebody can't pay, she said of her drivers. Additionally, the decision to ask for a credit card number when folks phone in orders is intended to keep customers and employees alike safe. Those picking up are still asked to sign their receipt, but she said it's also their prerogative not to. I'm definitely hoping people will be sensible, she said, of whatever method they choose to get their prepared food. Experts also recommend that those buying food wash their hands when they get home, then remove the food from the packaging, toss the container, and put the food on a clean plate. At Schnucks store, spokesman Paul Simon said all checkers have hand sanitizer at each lane and are encouraged to use it often. The same applies for office managers who have to count large amounts of cash. We did not receive direction from a higher authority, said Amy Snyder, chief of staff. This is a trend we were seeing with other transit systems in several states further advanced in the outbreak who were taking measures like this. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District on Tuesday eliminated fares for bus riders so that neither the riders nor the drivers have to handle cash. Snyder said MTD officials felt that it was the responsible thing to do, both in terms of limiting human contact and ensuring that those people who need public transportation for work or the doctor have access. And something a little more lighthearted, Carolyn Hax's column. Mother-in-law was never a fan of me. Dear Carolyn, my mother-in-law passed away suddenly this year. After the funeral, a drunk grieving family member let me know that she never liked me. Looking back, that makes a lot of sense. She was far from the nightmare some people have, but she wasn't ever very nice or welcoming. So I found myself secretly relieved that I don't have to deal with her anymore. While I'm dreading helping my husband and the rest of the family get through this first holiday season without his mom, how do you come to peace with not liking someone who is much loved and no longer living? Well, you're already there most of the way. You have the maturity to keep your hurtful feelings private, which might be a trait your husband found attractive because it reminded him of his mom. She managed to dislike you to the end of her days without your ever being the wiser. She wasn't very nice or welcoming, yes, but had she been cuddly, then she would have been a hypocrite. Instead, she was apparently civil and discreet enough for you not to notice that you were the reason she needed to make an effort to remain civil and discreet. Which brings us to the point of this massive rationalization that you can begin to find peace by finding some good in her. You disliked me, but I can respect how you handled it. Seriously, try. Once you've got the reconciliation out of your way, even a grudging one, you'll be more willing to see in her what the people who loved her saw, and even better, to see how she produced a person you love, and that's how you get through. And Ryan Pankow, In the Garden, Deciduous Detectives, with the right clues and some practice, you'll be an ace at tree IDs. Trees represent some of the most long-lived vegetation to the landscape. As such, these perennial woody plants are also some of the highest valued plant material in our yards, parks, and urban areas. Tree identification is an important first step in understanding the care of these invaluable plants that often take an entire human lifetime to develop into a mature, cathedral-like shade trees that line our city streets and shade our homes. However, tree identification can be a tricky business, especially when most of these towering tenants of the landscape shed their foliage for winter, leaving many of us without the slightest idea of where to start. Thankfully, there are some very basic characteristics that can begin to unravel the puzzle. When combined with one of the many excellent tree identification guides for our area, you can become the arboreal detective of your neighborhood, solving many a mystery down to species. Branch arrangement is one of the first clues to observe on any woody plant. It's easily identifiable year-round because leaves, buds, and twigs all hold the same pattern on each species. I recommend starting with twigs, as they are often the earliest to observe any time of the year. You can reach a lower limb. This characteristic is easy to see, but larger trees may take some careful study from the ground. Use a pair of binoculars to help you see the tiny twigs above, if needed. And I'm going to stop right there because this article was a little long, but I will pick it up in the second half, which I would prefer that you stay tuned to. This is Kathy signing off for part one of the News Gazette for Monday, March the 23rd.